being part of the process. And anybody who might be joining us online, thank you for joining us today. So that is item A. Item B is our agenda for this evening. I don't have any notes to make any agenda changes. Does anybody else have any? If not, I'll accept the motion to approve the agenda.
No.
Okay. Am I open to a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Agenda
as presented.
I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Harding, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any discussion to the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries 5 in favor. Now take us to item C, which is the minutes from our previous meeting, the September 9th, 2025 meeting. They were pretty long. We had a good meeting. So hopefully you guys all had a chance to review those. Any changes, additions, deletions to those? Thank you to city staff for putting those together for us. If they're done, I'm open to a motion to approve the minutes. Ms. Harding.
I make a motion to approve the minutes as of September 9th, 2025 Planning Commission meeting.
And I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Harding, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any discussion to the motion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion also passes 5 in favor. Takes us to item number D, our staff business. I will look to my left, audience right first. So Mr. Priest, Mr. Schindler, Mr. Simonson, Mr. Nilsson, planners. Okay. Boy, we're just moving right along here. I'm sure I'll slow down here in a second. That'll take us to item number E, our comments from the Planning Commissioner members. Mr. Catmull, did you want to maybe discuss real quick what, the potential training item, or you want me to bring that up? I'm happy to. Or so this is our first meeting in October. We have, I believe, 3 more scheduled meetings for the remainder of 2025. And I believe we have 1 or 2 hours remaining. I'm not sure the exact amount required for the state-required training for our 4-hour annual compliance, for lack of a better word. So Mr. Catmull kindly put together a potential item to talk about public clamor and detrimental effects and things like that, things that we sometimes heard on judicial administrative items. Which I like, and so I'm not sure if that's the idea, or the staff had any other ideas, or just to make sure we can be compliant with that requirement.
I mean, it was, and I just maybe I would say that this is a continuation of, we have 4 meetings until the end of the year. We just want to, maybe we should cover that as a separate item, or outside of, if unless we have a listed item here on training, maybe cover it in a separate. But we probably should plan when we're, how we're going to get those.
Yeah, so we definitely need that on the docket. Or if you guys have any other ideas for training, you can email us ahead of time. We can send it to staff. This week we had the last meeting in October, and 1 in November and 1 in December. So we are shortly running out of meetings for the year. And we just want to make sure we're not getting anybody in trouble by being below 4 hours. So on that. Anything else from the commission members? I didn't get a chance to listen to city council the last couple of meetings, but I don't think there's any, the city manager's email seemed pretty standard. I didn't see anything groundbreaking that would affect us as commission members. So, all right, I'll move to item F, the summary action, and item G, action. We have no items under those. Typically, we don't, for the public who are attending. Those would be items that we've heard, had the public hearing on, and have brought back to then make our final action. So we don't have any of those tonight. And so we will jump into the fun. Which is section H, our administrative public hearing items. These are items on which we, the Planning Commission, are the final deciding body for items on these tonight. So we will make a motion on each of these items to approve, deny, or to table on the items on that. And then that's it. So on these items, so just the way we go through our process. So the there was a staff report that was published with the general notice that was available online. So hopefully you all had a chance to review that. Staff will come forward on each item. They will present to us an item, an overview of that. Following that, the commission may have a few questions off of the staff report in their presentation. Following that, we will invite the applicant to come forward, and they have the time to give us any items, since this is their application, to add to the staff report, anything they would like to add. Following the applicant testimony, we will open that portion of the meeting to the general public, for those of you in attendance. to give any testimony that you will have on that item. When we do open that, we ask you come towards the microphone, give us your name and address for the public record, and you'll have up to 3 minutes to give us any testimony on that item. We will not directly answer anything you address to the commission. We will write those down, so it's not a give and take, but we will address those. And then following the public comment, we will close the public hearing, and then we will go back to the commission for deliberation. We'll try to answer your questions leading to a motion. So, and we have five items in administrative tonight, so we'll repeat that five times. And then I'll announce the legislative stuff if you guys all decide to stick around when we get to that. So hopefully I covered everything. Just when you do come to the microphone, we have commission rules. Yeah, just please be respectful. We try to be respectful to you as well on that, and be respectful to the others in attendance. I don't think we've had any issues this whole year with one exception. So we just throw that out there. This meeting is being recorded on that. So, item number H1, the Daybreak South Station, Plat 6, for property generally located along the north side of Lake Avenue between Granville Avenue and Freestone Road. The applicant is Wagner Soares of LHM Real Estate. And Mr. Schindler, you will be presenting us at this item this evening. Greg, the time is yours.
Hey, thank you. There's not a whole lot to say about this application. The application is to divide this acreage into basically two commercial lots in Daybreak. It's basically on the corner of Granville Avenue and Lake Avenue. The projected uses on the property will be most likely retail uses, and I don't know, and it was noticed properly. There were a few people within 300 feet to the east. They all got noticed, and in time. Staff is recommending that you approve this subdivision because it conforms to both the city codes and state codes, and the Daybreak. The Daybreak rules and ordinances in the development agreement. So that's
all set. Thank you, Mr. Schindler. Any questions for staff this time? I'll look at my left. No, I'll look at my right. Oh, God. Mr. Fisher.
Yeah. Do you know if this is going to be strictly commercial or commercial and residential?
It's strictly commercial.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think any. We don't have an exact site plan for it, but I understand it was for commercial uses only.
So. Okay. And then is the applicant here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then I'll save my question.
Okay.
Anything right. Additional for staff? Mr. Farber.
I have one more. This has to do with the tracks crossing. And pedestrian access. Is there a mid-block tracks crossing right there? Because I was just noticing the proposed Aloha Road and New Day Drive.
It's
on the
other side. It's on Granville Avenue. There's one up right up by the stadium. It's kind of mid-block between it's between Lake Avenue and I guess I can't remember. It's the Rain Lily Drive up there. So it's sort of directly, I guess, right where. If I want me to go up to that, I can point to it.
Sorry, and I didn't announce as he walks over. Our little display thing to draw on is not operable tonight. So if you're drawing a point to the map, don't speak because it won't be picked up by our audio recording for public record. But so hopefully the audience could see where he was pointing towards the northwest on Granville and that little road from the movie theater of where the...
Right in front of the Megaplex.
Yeah, right in front of the
Megaplex. Yeah, I've run along that road quite a bit, and so I know that they'd put up what looked like mid-block in between the lights, and I just noticed that Aloha Road and New Day Road don't align, and so I was wondering if they were that was still going to be a mid-block crossing there, or if the plans had changed.
I don't think so. We can check with the. I don't think they'll be. I think the only mid-block crossing would be where the
cars also go.
Yeah. So, but
okay.
Anything else for staff?
I can check with the applicant. He's here. He'll be able to answer that.
Anything else for staff? Okay. Thank you, Greg. We'll say have questions probably at the end. So at this point of the item, we'd like to invite the applicant to come forward. If it's Mr. Suarez. If it's not Mr. Suarez, please just introduce yourself. You are Mr. Suarez. The time is yours. Obviously, Mr. Farnsworth had a question, but time is yours.
Yeah, I'm Wagner Suarez, VP of Land Development for Larry H. Mueller. So we don't have, we discussed with UTA because we have to work with UTA on those crossings. And at this moment, they don't want us to add anything there, safety issues. And that's what was planned there. So that's your question. Any other question?
And Mr. Bishop.
I live in this area. And if we could bring up the map, the satellite view map. I just have a question actually about land, just very right adjacent to this. So there's, as a uninformed person, I might call that a linear park that runs on Lake Avenue between the two lanes.
The green space?
Right.
The median? Yeah.
Yeah. And so on the west side, that continues, past Granville Avenue. There's plenty of street furniture, lots of pathways, that kind of thing. On the east side of Lake Run is the same thing. But in between those, it's bare,
yeah.
Except for grass.
And we're leaving there to see somebody will catch up. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, we call that the rumble. And we're actually developing that section as well. We're just on that block right there. It might or might not affect the exits and the traffic. So we're trying to wait until we finally develop. But that area will be developed the same way. You have seats and extra trees and things. The same way you see west of Granville, you see on that portion as well. So it's just we're kind of waiting to finalize. We have some different people we're working on commercial side there just to see if it was going to affect anything in the traffic that way. So that's why we haven't touched per se that corner there. So
I'd hope that was kind of the case, but
I'm
really glad
that'll
be addressed. So thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else for the applicant while we have him up? Did you have anything else additional that you would like to add to the staff report?
Nope.
Okay, great. We will save some time for you after public comment if there's anything that we need to get answered.
Okay, thank you.
At this point in the portion of the meeting, we'd like to open this item to the general public. So anybody here in attendance in the chambers who would like to give testimony on this item, the time is yours to come to the microphone. And again, state your name and address for the public record, and you have up to 3 minutes to give testimony on this item. Don't be shy. We're not scary. Seeing none, one last call. I will close this portion of the meeting to the general public. Turn it back to the commission for any follow-up discussion leading to a possible motion. Mr. Campbell.
Really just a comment. Looking at it, this seems pretty straightforward. It's an already existing lot that is legally conforming, that is being bisected. And so all the angles and orientation of the lot is compliant, and as far as I can tell, and with the grade and all that. So I'm supportive of it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Campbell. I'm sorry, no. All right. And just one thing, because we have four more items that are just administrative this evening, we see the comment, and there's a note here of our standard approval, so there's a high standard, so we have to be able to deny, which I'm not saying we're going to, but we would have to be presented with a detriment that we're able to identify, and if we weren't able to come up with conditions to try to mitigate that detriment, then we could deny, but our standard is pretty strict of what we can do. So we can either approve if it meets the standards and off the staff recommendation, or we can approve with conditions, or we can deny. And so it's kind of a higher standard there, but just for the next four items as well, I just wanted to give you guys that. Mm-hmm. So if there's no other comment, I'm open to a motion from any of the commissioners. Okay. Ms. Hardy.
I move that the Planning Commission approve file PLPP 20250131 Daybreak South Station Plat 6, Preliminary Subdivision.
I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Harding, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any discussion to the motion? This will require a roll call vote, so Ms. Valdez, if you could do the first.
Commissioner
please.
Harding?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Farnsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
And Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Great. That passes 5 in favor with no 5-0. So thank you. Congratulations. But I know you're sticking around because you got one more item, which is item number H2. So we're just going to jump right ahead to item H2, which is the Daybreak Village 13 Plat 2, for a property located on the west side of Bingham Rim Road, approximately between 11098 South and 11035 South. And again, LHM Real Estate, Mr. Suarez is the applicant. Mr. Schindler will again be presenting us this item. Greg, the time is now yours.
Okay, thank you. The as you can see, this application is out where there's very little development yet in Daybreak. It's pretty far west and pretty far north. This is just basically, there's two parcels. You see the one little piece at the bottom, but that's a part of the P lot, and it is basically that lot will be used, the one that's created large enough, when I understand anyway, I hope I'm correct. Mr. Suarez can actually correct me if I'm incorrect, but I believe that it's being developed for a future community swimming pool on that site, for that area. If that's wrong, I'm sure he can correct me, but that's what I was told originally. There's no homes involved with this. Obviously, it's basically one large lot that is also called the C lot, but it's not necessarily commercial. It can be for community or civic other purposes as well. So they labeled them as the C lot, but that there is a P lot in there. Like I said, part of it is the P lot would be the park and would be landscaping and so forth in that. That's all I really have to say about this one. This subdivision, again, meets all the requirements of both state and local codes, and it is in conformance with the master development agreement with Daybreak.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Schindler. Any questions from staff? I'll start on my right this time. Turn to my left. Ms. Harding.
I have a hard time figuring out where this one was. So you've got South Jordan Parkway. I don't, what's the east, what's west and south on it?
Yeah, it's pretty, I guess I gave you the south parts on there. It's like 100 and, what did I say? 110. There's actually no road to it yet, so.
So that's probably why. I'm trying to picture where it's at, okay.
But it's, if I had a bigger picture to zoom out, it is probably, it's closer to between 60 something west and 70th west. And it's about 100 in South Jordan Parkway, I think it's about 109th south, I think, where this is going to be.
When it hits out there?
Yeah, it's.
So it's on the other side of the corridor?
No, it's, outside of the other side of that mountain view, yes, it's quite a ways out west.
Okay, that explains it. And can you explain why the triangular piece of land?
It's just part of the Bingham Rim Road runs that far, and that's going to be, it's Bingham Rim, it splits in between. The northbound traffic and then the southbound traffic are in two different lanes, and it's a green space in the middle, sort of like what we talked about for Lake Avenue and so forth, but that piece hasn't been created. It's just part of the larger scale lot, because it's being carved out of like 200 or 300 acres out of there. That piece needs to be put in, so that's why it just shows that there.
Okay.
The rest of it is already has its own parcel number and so forth as you go further south.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Kaplan?
Yeah, so in that same area, the Bingham Rim Road, it splits, as we look there. As I look at the picture and orienting myself, visualizing this, the left segment or the west segment, where does that side of the road go? Does it go into this?
Where it curves on the west side there, I guess it would be, it curves back into just being a two lanes in there. There's no more median after this.
Okay, so I'm just trying to make sure that, because I believe, and sorry, it's not fresh on my mind, but the lots have to be oriented relative to the frontage, the right of way that they face. So I'm trying to, so I look at the Bingham Rim Road, and this particular subdivision, it looks like it's going off of the right fork of the two-way, or is that just going to be the only part of Bingham Rim Road?
Well, Bingham Rim Road, like I said, like you say, it's split until it gets to this, and then it comes back together.
And that's why the triangular piece is, because it's going to merge back in, right?
Correct.
Is that right? Okay. Perfect. Okay.
I think on this image, it's exaggerated a bit when compared to this. See how little?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because that part's a little bit... Okay, I just want to make sure that was the only main tricky part that I could see. Thank you.
Yep. Just turn to the right again. Anything? Okay, thank you, Mr. Schindler. Mr. Suarez, we'd like to invite you to come up. Anything additional that you would like to add? And see if any of the commission members have any questions for you. I know Mr. Schindler at one point was for a swimming pool. Obviously, it doesn't look like a whole lot of homes out there, so that might not be in the immediate future. Any intended use of this parcel?
Yeah. As long as no one put on their Facebook page tonight, that's what we're planning, is to put a community pool there to be delivered next year. So the reason that little dot yellow on Bingham Rim is due to the alignment of the road not being compatible to what it's the standards for South Jordan. So we're going to come and demo that portion, cut it back in, and align that road. So if it makes a bit more sense. But yeah, we wanted to deliver next year this amenity to Daybreak.
Great. Any additional questions for the applicant while we have him up here?
Mm-mm.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Suarez.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, same as the last item. At this point, we'd like to open this portion of the meeting to the general public. So anybody who is here in the council chambers who would like to give testimony on this item, the time is now yours to come forward. Same rules apply. You have 3 minutes. Name and address in the microphone. Again, don't be shy. We're not that scary. Well, maybe I am, but not the other four. Okay, seeing that, we will close this portion of the meeting, bring it back to the commission for discussion leading to a possible motion. I'll look at our Daybreak representatives first, since this is your area. Then I'll look to our non-Daybreak residents. Okay.
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Bishop.
I move that the Planning Commission approve file PLPP 2025-00117, Daybreak Village 13, Plat 2, Preliminary Subdivision.
I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Bishop, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any further discussion to the motion? This will also require a roll call vote. Ms. Valdez, please.
Okay, Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Farnsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
Yes.
And Commissioner Hyde?
Yes.
Okay, that motion also passes 5 in favor, so thank you. And we thank you, Mr. Suarez, for being here this evening. It really helps us when we have the applicant. Obviously, we had a few minor questions, so it was really great to have you here. We thank all of our applicants for being here this evening. We will now jump to our next item, item number H3, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. You can correct me when you have the microphone. The Makowiak ADU Conditional Use Permit for property located at 9802 South, Evanston Circle, and Ryan Makowiak is the applicant, and Mr. Aguilera will be presenting us this evening. Miguel, the time is yours.
Thank you, commissioners. So this is a conditional use permit for a building that is going to be, well, the ADU permit has already been given by the city back last month, I believe it was. I put in the staff report, yeah, on September 18th, but the applicant, the property owner in this case, needs the conditional use permit because the height of the building exceeds the height of the existing house. The house, I believe, is one story. This new building is going to be two stories. The entire building will be the ADU. So the first floor will be mostly the ADU components. The second floor will just be really a loft, sort of sleeping area, but it's going to be a lot smaller than the first floor. They also need the conditional use permit because the average wall height slightly exceeds 16 feet, and that setback is 10 feet away from the property line. So because of the way the code is written, that requires a CUP as well. But apart from that, this structure meets all other accessory requirements, accessory structure requirements, and staff is recommending approval.
Great, thank you, Miguel. Any questions for the staff first? I'll turn to my left first. Turn to my right. And just to be sure, I mean, if this was one story, this would just go through the city's administrative process, wouldn't even come before us because of the two exceptions that you noted. That's right. Why it's before us this evening.
Right.
Okay. Anything?
I got a question.
Okay, Mr. Bishop.
How much taller would this be than the main house?
So perhaps the property owner could answer this, but it's unclear exactly how high the existing structure is. What we know is it is one story and this building will be two. So it will exceed the height. I just don't know exactly how much.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Miguel. Well, maybe I have questions for you and staff in a little bit. So is the applicant present here this evening? Yep. If you would like to come forward to the microphone, the time is yours. You can add anything you'd like to add. If you don't have anything, you don't have to do that either.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your consideration. So our home is one of the shorter ones in the neighborhood. It is a single-story home with a relatively low finished floor elevation with a hip roof. And so the ridge of the roof is actually de-emphasized because the hip roof drops off. But to answer your question, or whoever asked the question, we're about, I think, about 30 inches taller than our existing ridge for our house. It is a two-story, but it's only technically, I mean, it is technically a two-story building. As you can see that the gable roof that we have, we actually have that sleeping loft has sort of the ceiling matches the ridge line or the roof line, and then it sort of drops off in height. So from a code standpoint, it's two-story, but it's sort of like, you know, like a kid's sleeping loft type of space. We're surrounded by two-story homes to our west, to our south, our neighbors to the north. They're technically one-story home, but they're quite a bit more out of the ground than we are. So we're not out of scale with our neighbors by any means. The only thing I was going to maybe mention in the staff report, this is probably irrelevant, but I just want to make sure we're all on the same page, is the windows facing the east, the front of the building, looks out down into the living space, not a bedroom. In the staff report, I just mentioned it was a bedroom.
Into your living space?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, into the living space, the ADU.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
While we have the applicant forward, any questions for the applicant? All right. Anything else you'd like to ask while we have you?
No, I just appreciate your consideration, and hopefully this goes well.
Okay, if any questions come up during public comment, we may call you back up. So thank you for being here this evening. Again, we appreciate that.
Very good,
so,
thank you.
So same rules as the previous two items with the general public. We're gonna open up meeting public. Before I do that, we did receive one email on this item from Mr. David Levitt. I wanna make sure that's, you know, that's gonna be in the public record of that. So we've done that. And so at this point, any member of the public who is here to give testimony on this item, time's yours. You have up to 3 minutes. Name and address for the public record, and please feel free to come forward. I'm stalling. All right. We will close the public comment, bring it back. So ADUs are sometimes for some of our funner discussions we have here on the meeting, but this one, just my opinion, I haven't really spoken a lot tonight other than conducting the meeting, but seems pretty straightforward. I don't really think it's a fully functional second unit like we have. The windows don't oversee neighboring properties. The one email we did receive was the neighboring property owner who was in favor of this, not opposed, which is not really a detriment. It's, as the applicant said, it's only 30 inches higher than the primary dwelling unit. I think maybe we reference that because sometimes we might set a precedent for other ADUs, but because it's such a small difference on that. And so I think this, I'm in favor of moving forward, but I'd like to see what the rest of the commission feels.
And same with the 16-foot limit. It's just a bit above that. I don't, not probably enough for someone to even notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else from anyone?
The only thing that didn't come up in the staff, and I apparently neglected to look at before the meeting, is that it's coming to my mind, is because of the 16-foot requirement, and we're going higher than that, there's an additional setback requirement, and I can't remember what the ratio is, but going to 19 feet, I just want to make sure that we have, maybe a question for staff, where we've put that into our calculations and we have enough distance between the property line to accommodate the greater than 16-foot height?
Right, so the setback is 10 feet, slightly over 10 feet for the proposed building. So the normal accessory structure setbacks say that if a structure is 16 feet or less, then the setback is 3 feet. For every foot taller than 16 feet, you have to increase the setback by a foot. So this structure, I believe, is 19 feet or just under 20. So it's still far enough away to meet that setback requirement.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
No, thank you for doing that.
That was my question.
Oh, there we go. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
So that was mine actually coming in as well, so I think we're all on the same wavelength there. Anything else that this discussion for the commission? Anybody want to make a motion? Mm-hmm. I think I will, because this is my district. So.
Awesome.
So I'll do this one. So based on the staff report and the testimony provided this evening, I move that we, the planning commission, approve file PLCUP 20250185. The McCowiak ADU conditional use permit, allowing the average wall height of approximately 16 and a half inches and an overall building height taller than the existing residence.
I second it.
We have a motion by Commissioner Gedge, a second by Commissioner Harding. Any further discussion to the motion?
Maybe just, let's see. The one thing that it says here in the motion is it just says that it allows it to be taller than the existing residence. Do we want to set that at the height that it is based on the, is that restricted to the application as it's presented today? It can't become
so a future
20
extension
feet, 24 feet without coming through to another application.
Mr. Simonson, I'm going to ask you, do we need to specifically cite the specs that are presented in this application? It won't be higher than that. I can see Mr. Catmull's concern that just if it were to go, you know, 5 feet higher in the future on expansion, do we need to specifically maybe reference that?
What you're approving is according to what the plan is that he submitted.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
So are you fine then with the motion?
I'm fine.
Okay. This will also require a roll call vote, so Ms. Valdez.
Commissioner Gedge.
Aye.
Commissioner Harding.
Yes.
Commissioner Farnsworth.
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop.
Yes.
And Commissioner Kavanaugh.
Yes.
Okay, that motion also passes 5 in favor. So good luck. Thank you for being here this evening as well, again, and we wish you good luck as you build your ADU.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're just flying along tonight.
Nice.
So we don't want to break the momentum. No, just it's fine. Okay, so item number H4 is the Golden Plaza site plan for property located at 1613 West, 11400 South. Ashley Sudbury of NJRA Architects is the applicant. Mr. Drozdek will be presenting us this item this evening. Mayor, the time is yours.
Thank you. This property is located at 1631 West, 114 South. The proposed site plan, it's a multi-tenant commercial building. As you can see, the property is vacant and unimproved as of today. The zoning on the property is MU South, which is a mixed-use South Center Road Zone. And the proposed use is a permitted use in the zone. This is the proposed site plan. As you can see, there's going to be one access to the property. It's going to be coming off from the east end of Old Cedar Drive, I think is the name of the road. There's not going to be any access off 114, and then the parking's going to be situated behind the building to the rear. As for the landscaping, there's going to be trees and various plantings around the site. There's not going to be any sod installed with the project, and these are the proposed building elevations. As you can see, it's mostly a single-story building. The middle part of the building is bumped out. It's two stories, and then on the second story, all they have is some office space. And with that, I'll turn it over to you, commissioners.
Okay, turn to my right this time first for Mr. Bishop, Mr. Farnsworth, Ms. Harding, Mr. Campbell. I believe we saw this property maybe 2 years ago for a chicken and waffle restaurant.
Yeah.
This is a different application.
Yeah.
Was that a conditional use at the time, or was that a site plan?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this is the same property?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was hoping chicken and waffles, but okay. All right. Thank you to Mayor Wolf. I have some questions for you. Is the applicant here for this item this evening? Or would you like to come forward, I'm assuming? Ms. Sudbury?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, like Dahmer said, it's going to be on 114, and the building's at the front with the proper setbacks from 114 with the parking behind.
Okay, and just the intended, obviously the second story is going to be offices. Do you know what the intended use may be for this property? I'm just, because I think there's the one entrance and off of the road here. Obviously, we've had some issues with restaurants, with track circulation plans. Sometimes it's a super popular destination or business. So any ideas of what that might be?
Yeah, so half of the building right now is being planned for as a restaurant, and then the other half can be any other commercial use within the MDA requirements.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you for being here this evening, and we'll save some time after public comment if any arise.
Thank you.
Could I get you to state your name for the record?
Oh, yes. Ashley Sudbury.
At this portion of the meeting, so number four, I would like to open this up to the general public. Anybody who'd like to give testimony on this item, same rules apply. 3 minutes, name, address for the public record. The time is now yours. All right. We will close the public comment, bring it back amongst the commission for discussion leading to a possible motion. I drive by this pretty frequently, and it'll be nice to, I was hoping it was something else in the last 2 years, but it'd be nice to see something there. So that area is pretty much built out, and so this will be nice to fill that little gap. Ms. Harding.
So normally we ask the city that parking is sufficient. Is there any concerns with that and the different uses throughout the day?
No, the parking seems to be sufficient.
Thank you.
And I did bring up the transportation. If there were had to be one issues with the one entrance exit there, obviously there's steps that the city can address that, then they would maybe need to address that. Or what would happen, because this isn't a conditional use permit, this is a site plan. In the future, if it's super popular, I could think of a property on 114th and about 3800 West when it first came in, we all know our chicken rules, our discussion. So what's just that process just to address or to help mitigate in the future? We hope it's super successful just to make sure that it doesn't bleed onto 114th or Redwood or the neighboring properties. Sorry, Jeremy, that bothered you.
No, that's a valid question, and that's why we try to ensure that they meet the city's minimum requirements, you know, in our code. There is quite a distance, you know, there'd need to be a lot of stacking to be able to reach 114th South. If they did reach 114th South, then it would be, it could present a hazard, and so there'd be police enforcement involved.
Thank you. That was the answer we wanted to hear. Well, we heard a similar item years ago, so thank you for that. That's on the record. Anything else on this item? Again, open to a motion if anyone wants to take a step. Ms. Harding.
I move that the Planning Commission approves file PLSPR2025-00070.
And I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Harding, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any further discussion to the motion? We should say discussion to the motion. We haven't had any yet, so. Okay. Roll call vote as well, please, Ms. Valdez.
Commissioner Harding?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Farnsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
And Commissioner Kettle?
Yes.
Okay, that motion as well passes 5 in favor. So good luck. We wish you guys luck with your item here, and thank you for being here this evening. So that takes us to our last administrative item this evening, which is item H5. The Vision Dance Studio Conditional Use Permit for property located at 11509 South District Main Drive. Lisa Bunker is the applicant, and Demir will also be presenting us this item.
Thank you. So this is a conditional use permit. It's for a dance studio. The studio is proposed to be at the district. It's going to occupy one of the vacant spaces there. As you can see, the property is zoned BHMU. It's a Bangor Highway mixed-use zone. The proposed business is considered a recreational activity, which is listed as a conditional use permit in the zone. As you can see, this is the proposed pickup and drop-off plan. Most of the pickup is going to happen in the back, so away from the main drive, and that's generally where we want to see it happen. And then this is the proposed inside of the building. You can see there's going to be several studios where they can have lessons. And again, with that, there is a our recommendation is to approve with a couple of conditions. And the reason for those conditions is that there's a good potential that this business may be disrupted to a neighboring business to the south, which is a spa. And because of the different business operations and nature of the businesses, they might be in conflict with each other. And that's the reason for those two conditions in the report.
Thank you for that. Sorry, that was my question, was the two conditions. It's just, it's not in the motion. So would, and this might be for you or for Mr. Simonson, would we need to just specifically cite those two conditions in any motion we would make? Do you think just to be?
I think so, okay. Yeah.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions for Demir at this point from the commission?
Well, I just have a clarifying question. If you read the two conditions, one says install sound dampening materials and the other says proceed without sound mitigation. Those seem
there's a time limit. I think it's I can't remember what it says in the report. I think it's 30 days. Do they have or 60 days to report any nuisances to the city? In terms of sound or vibrations or any kind of disruptions to the business. So, and once those 60 days are over, then it's pretty much.
I guess I'm just trying to clarify what the recommendation is then. It's to install sound dampening materials right away and then monitor for another 30 days and do additional mitigation if that's necessary?
You can do either. Those are two options, yeah, given in the report, yeah. So you can go with them agreeing to do. So the way that it's listed is like you put mitigation up front, or if you choose not to do mitigation up front, you have 60 days, the neighboring business has 60 days to come to the city and say, hey, they're disrupting our business, so.
Okay, that clarifies. Yeah. So it's not do both conditions necessarily.
Right,
take in information and then decide which.
Right.
Okay, thank you, that's helpful.
Anything else for Demir, Mr. Kappel?
So I know there are, Demir, I know there are standards for just noise transmission at property lines. When it's, I can't remember us doing this outside of maybe like a animal care facility, like animal tending, where we've talked about noise in a multi-tenant shopping type district. This is not like a, what we're talking about between these two tenants isn't a property line. Mm-mm. What makes that, what standard would we be enforcing within a property around noise transmission and versus
we, that being we don't have a standard. That's the honest truth. There's no standard.
Right.
But obviously if you have a spa, which is a quiet environment, and then you have music beat on the side.
Sure.
It doesn't work.
Right. I'm just trying to understand if this is the property owner's problem, like in choosing what to lease to who.
It seems to be, yeah.
Versus something that we should exact a condition on a conditional use. So that's what I'm trying to, I don't know what to tie, what standard to tie it to.
I mean, you can see the detriment, potential detriment, right, to their business operations. So that, well, I was trying to put something in the report to protect the existing business from disruptions, and that's the reason for the condition.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not something that the city or the planning commission deems important for us to enforce, then that's up to you.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. So thank you.
Yeah, we'll need to think about that. So anything else for Demir while we have him up? Okay, thank you, Demir.
All right, thanks.
At this point, we'd like to invite the applicant to come forward. So I'm assuming Ms. Bunker is here this evening. If you would like to come forward and give any to the microphone.
Chair.
Oh, yes.
Also, I might add that it could, you could say that that's something that the landlord, we had the same situation over here when we had the Parks and Rec people and HR, and we had the karate studio went in and it was crazy, but the landlord mitigated that. I think I think the city paid for part of it. So you could leave it up to the landlord as well to solve any issues. So
that's good. Thank you, Ms. Bunker, for being here this evening. So this is your application. We had a couple of questions. Obviously, I'll let you do your anything you want to add, and then we might have a few questions for you.
First of all, Lisa's my business partner. She's teaching TAP tonight. So my name is Randy Shaw, R-A-N-D-I. And we have been, we're actually currently in South Jordan. This is our 18th year as a business. We started out in Riverton. We built right next door to Paradigm High School about over 7 years ago. So they actually just bought our building. I am actually one of the very first residents of Daybreak. So I saw the district being built and would love to get in there and kind of refresh, get some new people in there. The couple of issues that you guys have already brought up were something that we thought about very first. Our issues, what people see as issues, is always our pickup and drop off. Our clients typically don't come into the building. They like to drop their kids off and pick them up when they're done. So that was any building we looked at, that was the very first thing we look at. Is that gonna accommodate our drop off pickup situation? So I did speak with the landlord pretty extensively about that. We measured the space that we have now, plus you know what that's actually gives us more space. The one nice thing with our clientele also is they kind of do what we ask them to do. So we do have one night this year that we kind of ran into too many cars backing up. So we just asked people to stagger their pickup times a little bit. It's really easy for us to kind of deal with that. So I don't see any issues with that going forward personally, but obviously you have to look at that point. So, but the back of that building is pretty empty, and there's a really easy, as you come in off of 114th, there's like a definite come in this way, come along the back of the building, drop your kid off, and then there's an easy exit out the other way that shouldn't, you know, get in anybody's way. As far as sound, we actually, when we were in Riverton, we're next door to a spa, of all places to move in, next door to a dance studio. I know it's annoying. and we did put in sound barriers in that one, and it worked really well. So we're willing to do that again. The first thing we looked at is let's make sure there aren't any dance studios up against that wall. So we're putting in dressing rooms, those types of things, so they're not right up against that wall. Hopefully that will help sound. And you never really know till you get in, but we obviously don't want our neighbors to hate us. So we're pretty easy to work with that way, whatever they're, or whatever you ask, or whatever we feel like what the landlord would be best would, we're willing to do whatever. But we love the space. It gives us a lot more space. We've kind of outgrown where we are now. So anyway.
Thank you for being here this evening. Any questions for that? Let's start first.
What are your hours of operation?
So we actually, on top of doing dance, we have a full educational preschool program during the day. So we're open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., okay. Typically Monday through Thursday, and then on Fridays we're usually done around noon. We are a competitive dance studio, so we'll do extra rehearsals on the weekends, closed on Sundays.
Any performances at the studio, or do you, like most studios, you rent other public facilities?
Yes, we'll do some of our preschool Tiny Tots. We'll have like allow their parents to come in like at Christmas time for Christmas shows, but it's just class by class, whatever will fit in one room. So nothing huge, no big events.
Mr. Cutler?
Maybe just a question. So where you're at today near Paradigm High, am I remembering correctly that that entrance is one where you have to...
It's backwards.
Yes. And so,
yes, yeah.
So that's one where...
It's a little funky. We didn't want the kids to have to cross the street in the dark. Right. So we did kind of, you come in on the left side and circle around and so that they're dropping kids up against the building. But this will be the reverse. It'll be USA standard on the right.
It's fine. I just, as you were talking about, your clientele tends to do what they're asked.
Yes, they do.
I think it was a really odd circulation because of that situation.
I know, and everybody doubted us, and we made it work.
Yeah, we had a few more people that here that evening.
Yeah.
So, okay. Thank you. That's my question for you now.
Okay. Mr. Farnsworth or Mr. Bishop? All right. I, So just going back, obviously you said the landlord would be your first preference to have them monitor, but you would, looks like you wouldn't be opposed if we put it in a 60-day mitigation if we discussed that. And then ultimately, if you had to put up a sound wall, it looks like you've done that before at a previous location.
Yes. Okay.
Just so we understand, so we don't have to have you keep going back and forth.
For sure.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep, no problem. And I will add that what seemed to be the biggest issue in our previous location was just the vibration in the wall, because they had like our sound system and mirrors were up against that wall. So that's why we decided not to use that end of the building for rooms. So there'll be a little bit of, I don't know. But if yeah, and I'll talk to the our contractor and see. Like, I'd almost rather put the sound in up front than have to rip it up and do it later, so.
Great.
We'll check on that.
Thank you.
Okay.
At this portion of the meeting, we'd like to open this meet portion up to the general public. So any member who's here in the council chambers who would like to give testimony on this item, that includes any member of the city staff who would like to give testimony. You guys, a lot of you are residents. Same rules apply. Give us your name, address, and you have up to 3 minutes to give testimony on this item. Seeing none, I will close the public comment. I've fulfilled my legal responsibility. Bring it back to the commission for discussion. I'm fine not putting in a condition and leave it to the landlord. Obviously, it's their building, and he's going to have one upset tenant if things are loud. So that's where I'm leaning, but I'm open to staff's recommendation as well. It looks like the applicant's either open to any of the three. So just how you guys feel.
I'm okay with leaving it up to the landlord.
Yeah, and I think that I feel better about that. I do also have another question outside of this
one. But on that, I mean, just for staff, if there is a complaint from maybe other business owner or the landlord doesn't address their tenant, is there any other recourse that someone could do? Can they complain to the city because they're just a leasee of the unit because of sound or whatever that might be? Or I know this is a conditional use permit, so eventually, I mean, they could go through that mechanism, but if we were to not put in any conditions and just leave it to the landlord, are there any other, like, citizen paths in case there was an incident or an issue?
Yeah, I mean, you can always revisit the conditional use permit you're issuing tonight, and then if it cannot be mitigated, you can revoke it, but yeah, I mean, it can be brought back, yeah.
And there are decibel limits, I believe, as well.
And that's Valley Health Department? Is that Valley Health Department?
Well, yeah, through the Salt Lake County. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, any other discussion on the maybe the mitigation of the sound? Mm-hmm. Okay, and Mr. Cantwell, I believe you had another item.
The applicant was talking about a secondary use for this that was not necessarily recreational, that was educational. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe the daycare or tiny tots.
Yeah, and this condition.
Does that fall under permitted or does that require a conditional?
Yeah, that's what was my question. I'm trying to get where you're going. I'm trying to get connected here to see what the allowed uses are, but maybe the staff can, in the Bangor mixed use zone, we don't usually see very much in that one.
Yeah.
Where does that educational, the preschool, does that require a conditional use permit?
I was not aware of this. I thought it was just a dance studio. That's how it was presented to me. Okay. So if there's some kind of educational component, maybe we can check with the applicant and see which one is the primary use. So this could be a secondary use to the primary use, which is the dance studio.
And I guess to follow up on that, if it is, there is a secondary use, does the conditional use only have to be applied for the primary use of the dance studio? Or would they have to apply for a second conditional use permit for the educational daycare use?
I imagine if the dance studio is the primary use, that's the only thing that's needed.
And they seem pretty compatible to me. I just want to make sure that as we look at the city code that we're and the zones that are out there that we're compliant.
So I'm going to invite the applicant up real quick just to make sure that the dance studio is primary or the daycare or the preschool, which one's primary? I'm assuming we know the answer because of the name on the application, but.
Yeah, I apologize that the full name was not put on there. I would say 80% of our clientele is dance, for sure. And the preschool kids do dance afterwards. So it's definitely a secondary, but helps pay the bills during the day.
Okay, So just for the record, you would say that the dance is your primary and for any sure. education, daycare would be a secondary use?
Yes.
Okay. And the preschool would use the same circulation plan?
Absolutely.
Because that's usually what mostly we mitigate is that.
Yeah.
Other issues, so. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Demir, for answering that. And
we're in the process of maybe
Mr. Priest, sorry, I was going to turn to you guys next.
Some internet issues we're trying to put on.
So, Mr. Simonson or Mr. Priest, I just as long as it's the primary use would be the dance studio, which we're considering conditional use permit, are we okay to use? And then if they were to have another secondary use, would that fall like on our business licensing or nothing that we need to be considered about?
I wish I had great legal expertise, you know, that I could tell you right now. But I do know this, that it's all teaching. It's all educational. It's all learning. So I don't know that there's a big separation.
And the preschools are regulated under the business licensing code. So there are no conditional uses for business licenses. It has to be something in the plan or in the land use ordinance. So I'm pretty comfortable that it's okay.
No, that's great. We just want to make sure we're dotting the I's and crossing the
I's. It just limit, you know, if you're in a residence, then there's limits to how many students you can have and different things, but not in the commercial. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for that. Any other concerns, discussion? I think this is a great fit in the Daybreak. Obviously, our district, there was a major announcement there this week as well for another, or last week, with between JCPenney and the other homes. So this is some nice improvements to the area. And obviously when Mr. Catmull and I, we were on the commission 6-7 years ago and saw the current location with the site plan. This, I think, it helps alleviate some of the concerns we had with that property as well. So that's my Ms. Harding.
I'm going to bring up parking and ask the city, how does that work in the district? And is there enough for this type of use?
As the applicant was saying, they're not going to be staying there. So it's mostly going to be pick up and drop off. And then number two is most of those parcels or lots of the district, they're owned by the same property owner. So it makes, there's plenty of parking.
It's not a certain amount closest to their building for their employees and for anybody that stays that we have to calculate or anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
So the parking stall numbers are all the overall density of the district.
I like that.
There are cross parking easements that allow, and like I said, most of it is owned. Target is owned separately, but even Harmon's is a land lease, so most of the property is all owned by the district LLC.
I love it. Great. I wish we had that on all of these properties that have joining parking lots, right?
Yeah, that'd be great. Anything else for discussion leading to open to a motion? Mr. Cattle?
I'd like to make a motion that the Planning Commission approve file PLC UP 2025-00192.
I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Catmull, second by Commissioner Gedge. Discussion to the motion on this one? If not, need a roll call vote on this one. Ms. Valdez, please.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Farnsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
And Commissioner Harding?
Yes.
All right, that motion passes 5 in favor. So thank you, Ms. Shaw, for being here this evening. We wish you all good luck. And that concludes our administrative public hearings. And less than an hour. I'm sorry. I'm actually pleasantly surprised. Before we jump into our legislative public hearing items, I know she's left, but I failed to recognize Councilwoman Johnson, who was here briefly for an item earlier this evening. So if she's listening to the recording, which I know they do, I want to thank her for coming and supporting people near her district this evening and supporting us as well. So we'll jump into item number I, our legislative public hearings item. We have one item under this, which is a legislative text amendments to city code. The city is the applicant. Mr. Moss will be presenting us this item, and I will turn the time over to Joe now. Time is yours.
Yes, thank you. We have a ongoing effort to make sure that our code is up to date with state legislative requirements. And today we are looking at two specific bills with a couple of adjustments. probably largely think we already comply with a lot of these. The majority of this is making clarifications, but there are a couple of updates that I'll kind of walk you through here. So the first bill that we're looking at is SB 104, and this deals primarily with simple lot line adjustments. So in our code, we call those property line adjustments. So one of the modifications is to clarify that when the state says simple boundary adjustment, we have that in our code as a property line adjustment, just because that's a term we've used quite a lot, and state legislation seems to go back and forth on what that term actually is. But we do have a couple of other updates to different sections in this particular, to accommodate this particular bill. So looking at our lots and parcels, we do have a establishment criteria for who can qualify for that property line adjustment. We've also modified our submittal requirements for the correct documentation that has changed in state legislation as well. In the subdivision amendment, we do also update our noticing section in that component. The state now requires a 10-day window prior to the Planning Commission meeting, saying that if you object to this subdivision amendment, you have 10 days to send us a written letter of contest that you're contesting it prior to the hearing. So that is a new requirement that has been introduced. And then, as I mentioned, the definitions are being updated just in that property line adjustment to make that reference to the state code. And the other bill that we're looking at is HB 368, which is a very, very, very large bill. There's a lot in that, but we're looking at a very narrow section of this, and it's really just dealing with public notices for land use amendments. So the big thing is you know, typically with a land use amendment, we make we post a notice, we have a written notice that goes out at the paper, gets posted on the website. They're now making a distinction between what they're considering ministerial, which would be the vast majority of land use amendments, and what would be not considered ministerial. If it's not considered ministerial, we just have to send an additional mailed notice to those affected property owners. Mm. So it's not necessarily something we would run up against very much, but we just wanted to make sure that our noticing standards were in compliance and aligned with state code that in that regard. With that, that's kind of the overall of the changes that we have for you, but here for any questions you may have.
Any questions for Ms. Harding?
So do these changes help our city, or I don't know, it just seems like with the dentist building, it seemed like people weren't notified, and there's a lot of contention when people aren't notified. I'm just wondering, do these changes make it so minimal that they're not going to be notified?
No, there's no reduction in our current noticing requirements. Really, this is just making sure that what we're saying matches with what state law says. Like I said, I think we're largely in compliance with these already. We're just making it more explicitly clear that we are in alignment with state code and on some of these. We want to make sure that we're eliminating any sort of gray zone in between the language in our code versus the state code.
But language and definition could be considered different. And so if the state code is here, and that's our minimum, are we erring in a way that more people are notified? Or are we taking on their minimum and less people will be notified?
So we're not modifying our standard. We're keeping our existing, which has always been at
higher.
Usually it's higher. For instance, subdivision amendments, the state only requires that you notice any affected property owner on that. We have an additional requirement that we notice other property owners within that subdivision.
Okay.
So that's not going away, that stays the same. The only thing that is new as far as noticing goes would be that new 10-day window on contesting a subdivision amendment. And again, that's a new code, a thing that has come from the state that we're just making sure that we're incorporating.
Okay, thank you.
So I just want to follow up on that 10-day, I guess, not appeal, but protest period. What happens if a resident protests, I guess, the hearing, the decision of that? Does it have to be reheard, or who's the body for the hearing? Just so I understand the process. Yeah. So if there's a protest, how does that flow?
For subdivision amendments, one of the other things that it does is clarifies that you, the Planning Commission, are the land use authority for subdivision amendments. And you would obviously have the information so that that content, you know, that 10-day protest window closes 24 hours before, at minimum 24 hours before the hearing.
Oh,
so you would always have all that information ahead of you. And as with any subdivision, you know, if the applicant's proposal is compliant with all state code, you know, with subdivisions, we need to approve those if they meet all of our code and standards. So really, I guess the protest would have to point out that they're not being able to do that in some way for that to really change the outcome.
I just understood that we had our meeting, we made a decision, and they had a 10-day protest period following that, which I guess technically, I guess nothing's really final until we approve the minutes following our meeting. But okay, so thank you for clarifying that. Sorry, Mr. I cut one of you guys off with a follow-up.
Go ahead.
I'm just ministerial. What are some examples of versus, and I guess from what I'm reading, quasi-judicial, discretionary, and ministerial? I'm trying to think of a land use amendment or a land use thing that would be ministerial.
Well, generally, most of our land use text amendments would be considered ministerial because you only have to meet one of the four different things that they lay out. And one of those means that so I'll just roll through the list of what they say ministerial means. If the change is to bring the municipal's land use ordinance into compliance with state or federal law, so if we're changing it for that reason, it's considered ministerial. If we are adopting a land use policy that affects the entire zoning district or multiple zoning districts, so for instance, if we're changing the standard in the entirety of the agriculture district for some reason, that's considered ministerial. And if it's a non-substantive clerical, you know, maybe we found a typo or something where, you know, as long as it's non-substantive, doesn't matter. That can be considered ministerial. And then if it's recodifying existing land use ordinances or designating kind of an affected area for some annexation stuff. So really, most of our land use text amendments are going to fall under that citywide thing. Where it would be applicable is, say, you were changing your zoning ordinance to say something like, you know, R18 zoning, but only in this particular part of the city is going to be changed, and that'll be different. In which case, then we would need to notify those property owners with a mailed notice.
Okay, and these are just for text amendments, not general plan amendments. General plan amendments, those are the ones that really are, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it specifies land use text amendments. So.
Okay, thank you. Just missed that one. Thank you.
So you guys, anything for Joe at this time? Okay, thank you. We'll have the public hearing, and then we might have questions after our discussion. So at this point, we will open this portion of the meeting to the general public. So before I do that, this is a legislative public hearing item, so we are not the final deciding body. We will be making a recommendation to the City Council where they will make the final decision on this action. And so we will be making a recommendation to approve or deny the changes proposed by the applicant this evening. So if there's any member of the general public who would like to give testimony on this item, same rules apply as the administrative items. 3 minutes, give us your name and your address. The time is now yours. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and now bring it back among the commission for our discussion. Any follow-up with staff, I just want to make sure I got the legalese out of the way. We've had our public hearing. So, but just by point, we'll be in compliance with state code, which is always, I think, a good thing. And I think with Commissioner Harding's, we're still above, hopefully, in most noticing, but I'll let you.
I'm ready for a motion.
Oh, just make sure. Any other discussion from anyone? Okay, go for it.
Awesome. I move that the Planning Commission provides a favorable recommendation to the City Council for Ordinance 2025-17, text amendment to City Code 16.04.160 lots and parcels, 16.14 subdivision amendment, 17.04.060 public notices, and 17.08 definitions generally.
And I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Harding, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Discussion to the motion for the commission. Seeing none, our last roll call vote for this evening, Ms. Valdez.
Commissioner Harding?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Farnsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
And Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We are passing a favorable recommendation, positive, to the City Council. And I forgot to ask Mr. Moss, do you know when this will be heard by the City Council? I generally ask that on these types of items.
We intend to take it to the November 18th meeting.
Great. Thank you for that. And like I congratulated all the other applicants. Good luck in your future stuff. And thank you for being here this evening as the applicant. I'll make sure I'm consistent with all that. So that concludes our...
I hope you're wildly successful.
Yeah, hope you're wildly successful in your endeavors. That concludes our published agenda this evening. Take us to item J, which is other business. Mr. Priest?
I want to make a clarification because you might be asked these things, and I'll let Mr. Simonson ring me in if I get too far from the agenda. But this is regarding the announcement you referred to of the senior housing project in the district. The Deseret KSL. KSL reported that these units are for sale. They are not.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And we have had numerous phone calls of people wanting to buy them. Mostly they've been investors that have wanted to buy them and then knowing there would be restrictions but rent them out. This is not a condominium project. The project consists of somewhere around 200 units, of which 75% will be reserved for either 80%, 70%, or 60% of the area median income, and they will all be for lease units, and they will be for seniors. So, okay. Just in case you guys get asked, as you might, because of your positions.
Will we see this item in the future before us? Or
in the future,
the
you'll see a site plan.
We'll see site plan, okay.
But I just want you to know that was inaccurate, and you may get questions because of your seat on the Planning Commission. So.
And then I believe there was going to be a senior like development on Hunter South and 40th West. Does this take the place of that?
Yes. This is the same development that was proposed for. So it completely moves that entire development over.
Mr. Cattle and I, in the last couple of years, have gotten some emails on that in the past.
So I don't know what the future of that property will be, but it will not be this project. So.
And just a point of information for the city, with that last horrible rain, where that building was going to be built, full of water, deep, deep water, almost to the point of needing to pump.
They're actually going to rebuild that detention pond, and they would have also, if this building had been built, they would have moved it on the other side of the canal and mitigated that. They know, Jeremy might be able to talk a little more about that, but they know it's a problem. And it would just maybe in a different place if the building would have been bent there than where they're going to do it now.
Is it going to be dug out, right? Is there plans to dig it deeper right now or move it at this time or no?
We have plans that we could do it, but that I'm not aware of any funding at this point to proceed with that project. It was more going to be done in anticipation.
Yeah, that would have hurried it up because it needed to be done for this project. So,
my home backs up green space, so that's why I'm interested in it.
Definitely.
Okay, that's all. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Priest. Mr. Schindler, Mr. Priest, just I always ask, fourth Tuesday in October, what's that looking like for potential agenda items?
Well, I tried to look it up on my computer, but I didn't connect to the Wi-Fi. So the only one, I know there's at least one item because I have one on there. So it may be more. I don't think it'll be as many as tonight.
Okay.
But. And if it is only one item, we might see if we can get you some training. There's also the League of Cities and Towns have videos that are on YouTube, and then you can redo that at your leisure too. Two of you I know for sure only need two more hours. Actually, one more hour because you're going to get one for at the end of the year, and then the rest of you. I don't think we've had any training this year specifically that I can remember. So the rest of you will have to have 2 hours, most likely.
I can't recall. Yeah, and I know Mr. Catmull and I, we've done the League of City and Towns webinars in the a couple of years ago. So for our newer commissioners, that's a nice option if we need to. But Mr. Farnsworth, Ms. Harding, you guys got an extra hour on us being new appointees this year. So that's great. Anything else from staff? Sorry. Or I'll look to Jeremy or Joe as well.
I'm not staff, but I wanted to bring up a possible idea for a training or a discussion. It's like maybe more of a discussion topic, but Daybreak is going to be about what, like a quarter or maybe even a third of our city, right? And it's got a, like a totally separate planning process. And what's, where does that process and our process eventually meet? Like, how long does it run in parallel? Do we ever plan on it merging?
Well, their development agreement is 30 years. And so it's, I can't remember when, it's some years in the future, but the zoning ordinance always had, for the PC zone, has a different development process.
That's correct. Yeah. And the 30-year plan was probably within 30 years they intended to be fully developed, so there wouldn't be much coming to the Planning Commission or City Council at that point. It is a different process. Technically, the processes for subdivisions, they still come to you in Daybreak, only because I think because staff decided, we asked that, you know, that we got approval from them to we got approval to at least bring subdivisions forward. They didn't want the site plans. We asked about that, but it's in their development agreement that they don't go to, or the PC zone. Neither one of them allow that, and they didn't want to bend on that one because they said they wanted to develop quickly and not have to go through so many, you know, go back to the Planning Commission or City Council on stuff that's already been approved in the development agreement. So that's.
And as I'm assuming we're working on a development agreement for the Midas community. Hopefully some of those items that we've brought up in the past will be addressed in a new development agreement with that community.
And I don't know what's going on with that, because I don't know if the property's even been purchased by a developer yet. So.
And I don't want to turn this time into that discussion, but I guess I've got a ton of follow-up questions in terms of, like, do we carve up that PC zone into, you know, a mixed-use zone and a residential zone
the entire PC zone currently is a mixed-use zone. I mean, that's
right. Yeah, I'm talking about, like, once the 30 years is up and the city's taking responsibility for planning.
I don't think that'll remain in the PC. They won't be expanding anymore because this is all the property that they get under that.
Extended.
They could extend that 30 years. Both sides
could
agree.
They could. I mean, they're getting close. What will be left, most likely, if anything, will be the commercial part in this town center where they're working now. The housing is. Was running out of land for more neighborhoods and so forth as they go west. And that's why they'll be, and they're still only allowed 20,785 units can be built in Daybreak. And so far they're still have approximately, about 5,000 more units that can be approved. Wow. As all they're. That's all going to probably be in the town center.
And that's nothing magic about the number. It's the acreage times five, which is their gross density is 5 units per acre, even though within they can be much higher, but the gross density is 5.
Interesting.
Yep. But it's probably good to maybe have a discussion so everyone aware of development agreement, just the process between our process as a commissioner, city code, what we can do with Daybreak items, you know, the development agreement versus, you know, because we do get, we've brought up before, residents will come up with parking issues and like, you know, we're just here for subdivision or, you know, very limited. So it's probably good to have a discussion so that we're all prepared. A few of us elder statesmen on the commission, if we begin to age off and you guys take our places, and I'm prepared to take the reins. So, nice. Yeah, that'd be good. Okay, anything else from anyone? All right. Since I move that we're adjourned. Since that's the agenda's done, that's the...